New year, new kitchen. Kitchen Tune-Up has 5 ways to help you love your kitchen again. Call 810-488-9778 to schedule a safe, free consultation or visit kitchentuneup.com.
Friday morning, let's talk about the future of the internet, particularly as it applies to social media sites. It feels like we're at kind of a crossroads right now where the events of recent weeks have really put under a microscope the policies at Facebook and at Twitter and other sites. Joining us, a couple of tech experts to weigh in on this national discussion on social media moderation, the president and CEO of NetChoice, Steve DelBianco. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
And Carl Szabo is on the line as well, general counsel at NetChoice. Carl, good morning to you as well.
Morning.
This has been such an unusual time, and after these really unprecedented moves by big tech, what do you guys think we can expect to see, especially with a new administration starting this week?
Yeah, Paul, this is Steve, and this is really an uncharted territory for this government that just took in and for America in general. We're in the middle of this pandemic and a lockdown. We're a very divided nation, politically and economically. And America seems to be losing our way, losing our global leadership position, too. And the one bright spot in all of this is that America's tech companies, we lead the world and have enabled your listeners and all Americans to endure these COVID lockdowns. Think about the online services that let your listeners stay connected to their family and friends, that allow them to get information on best practices and health to maintain their careers and their educations through online resources. It's also helped restaurants and small businesses survive by reaching customers that weren't allowed to come through their doors. So look, we're going to rely on the tech industry to bring America back to life as COVID passes. So it's really puzzling and troubling to us that there are folks on both ends, at the edges of the political spectrum right now, who are so eager to take down America's tech businesses. And we find ourselves in a really impossible dilemma.
It feels impossible, and yet, these tech companies bear at least some responsibility for being the conduit for misinformation, and not just misinformation, but violent outbursts that we've seen.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because all of us were watching television on January the 6th. We could see the insurrection happening in the Capitol. So imagine yourself being at the controls at Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, where you're trying to determine how do you dial up the moderation of comments? So it's completely understandable why they, if anything, would have switched the dial to be much more safe, to crack down on any communications that claims the election was stolen, even if the tail end of that said that you should go home peacefully. So it's hard to blame them for being ultra cautious in that moment. But it's also a squeeze play, because the last 4 years we had President Trump claiming that social media should moderate less of what he and conservatives said. And on the other side of the spectrum, we had candidate Joe Biden and a lot of the left claiming that social media should moderate more. And that's an impossible squeeze play coming from a government who isn't even allowed to tell us how to moderate our speech. We have the First Amendment here, Paul. You know that as a radio guy. And because of that, the government cannot control speech on your radio show, and it can't control speech on social media either. So much of the noise that's made on content moderation is an attempt to move the needle, on what is said on social media, maybe even to move the needle on what is said on broadcast media, radio and television, putting the internet aside. An awful lot of the news and views we've heard on traditional media has also incited violence and spread disinformation.
Well, you raise a good point about the First Amendment, but it doesn't come without some restrictions. I mean, there are some words that I'm not going to say right now, because if I did, I'd face a hefty fine. The radio station would face a hefty fine from the FCC. I also can't incite violence. I can't tell people to go up and rise against the government and commit acts of violence. I'll get in trouble for that as well. So, doesn't social media also need to be controlled in some of the ways that the FCC controls traditional media?
You would think so, but the FCC is managing a public good called the airways, and they exercise caution and control of those airways. Well, the First Amendment, however, prevents the government from controlling what is said online. It controls the ability for Twitter to decide for itself what its standards are. And the FCC doesn't manage the internet itself. Is that something that you have in mind? Because consider what we get if the government takes over and manages the internet. The internet starts to run like the U.S. Postal Service. And I don't think there's any Americans that think that's the answer here.
So what is the answer?
The answer is pretty simple. We need to let the businesses decide what's best for their users and their customers, because at the end of the day, DC is rarely in a position to know what's best for people like your listeners or people who are just opening businesses. So the best thing that the government can do is kind of get out of the way. As Steve noted, and the number one issue that is hopefully on this administration's mind, that it's certainly on everybody's mind, is COVID and getting out of the COVID hole. And how do we do that? We empower businesses to pick themselves up and get themselves back into work. And the best way to do that is government getting out of the way. Let the businesses figure out what's the best way for them to restart. And one of the best tools to do that is going to be the internet and the technology businesses. And the best thing that we can do is just let the system work.
We have seen tech companies like Facebook and Twitter basically, putting disclaimers on or even shutting down some information. Can we trust big tech to continue to monitor themselves?
We can trust big tech to put out community standards and to interpret the community standards in light of what's happening in the real world. I mean, nobody could ignore what was happening on the television on January the 6th. So the community standards themselves are written in a way that there's still quite a bit of discretion for the social media companies to take actions they think are necessary to keep their users happy and to make sure the advertisers aren't frightened away. And I told you earlier about the pressure that's put from the left and the right on social media. So when it comes to trusting, I think you have to trust the fact that the social media are businesses. And seldom was a man as innocently engaged as in the making of money. And you can be sure they're going to want to please their advertisers, please the broadest possible audience, and grow their businesses. So that's what to trust. If the conservatives worry that they could be next, I think conservatives need to be reminded that over half of the top pages on social media are conservative sources. Conservatives have found social media as a breakthrough to be able to reach voters that they would never have reached through the traditional media as in the past.
Yeah, it's really really interesting. We could go on for hours about this. It is fascinating. Where can people get more information about what we've been talking about this morning, guys?
Great. You can come to our website, netchoice.org, netchoice.org, and you can catch up on information on what's going on, ways to react, and just general information about some of the ideas that are coming out of D.C. and the local states.
Okay, will do. Gentlemen, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.